give the worship group and Dr. Newby another hand. It's good to have Kathy playing today. Kathy, thank you so much. That's good. If you would turn to Revelation chapter 8, please. Revelation chapter 8. I want to go back to the revelation, Jesus Christ himself. We have talked a great deal about the four world kingdoms and the fifth world kingdom that is coming. We have talked a great deal about he who is going to be in control of the fifth world kingdom. But we talked very little about who was in control of the first four world kingdom. First world kingdom, second world kingdom, third world kingdom, and the fourth world kingdom, Babylonian kingdom. The Medes and the Persians, or the Persian kingdom. The great Alexander, the Greek kingdom, and the Roman world dominating kingdom. Do you know who was the head of those kingdoms? We know that there was a fifth kingdom he was over, but it wasn't a world kingdom. That was Satan himself. He's tried many times to override God's plan, and he keeps failing over and over and over again. Today, as we get into the fifth trumpet of God in the book of Revelation, we're going to talk about the head. Of the king. We're going to talk about he that leads out of the pit. We're going to talk about that angel that falls from heaven. We're going to talk about Satan today. Tremendous adversary. Can't take him lightly. You're going to learn some things about him today. And then we're going to talk about the creatures that's going to come out of that pit that he's going to open next week. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity we have to open your word. And Father, because we have this opportunity, I pray you move me out of the way, that you have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. For those of us who need conviction, Lord, I pray you will convict us. And for those of us who need comfort, I pray you will comfort us. Father, please teach me that others may be taught. And for those of us who need your comfort, comfort us. But for those of us who need your conviction, convict us. Because you're not coming back the way you did the first time when you come back for your fifth world domination. You're coming back ticked off. And you're going to show the world just how much you are. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say, God is coming back. And when he comes, he's going to come as a ruling king like never before. And I kind of believe it's good to get on his side while he's still a loving and humble servant. Because when he does come back and you're not on his side, he's going to show you what it's like to be beat up for a while. No police officer's going to stop this gang warfare when he comes back. There's no court in all the world that's going to convict him of violence. There's no one that's going to be on your side against him. For he will be the dominating power of all power. He will be the revelation of all revelations. We've already dealt with the seven seals, and we've dealt with the first four trumpets. We're going to find out today that the next three trumpets is going to be nothing like the first seven seals and like the first four trumpets. Because today we're going to find out that all the others was dominated and sent by God. But in the fifth trumpet, God's going to turn Satan loose on the world. And that lie he's been telling everybody about, you be on my side and I care about you, he's going to show his true colors when he comes down here on the fifth trumpet. So turn with me to the first trumpet, chapter 8, verse 7 of the book of Revelation. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. That was the first trumpet. Vegetation destroyed. Next verse, verse 8, the second trumpet. Sea turns to blood. And the second angel sounded, and it was as a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of all the ships were destroyed. Each one of these we have talked about is following a pre-existent small amount that God gave when he dealt with the 10 plagues in Egypt. What happened in Egypt is not going to compare to what's going to happen in the book of Revelation when God comes back. Everything he's going to do is going to be multiplied. It's going to be increased. It's going to be like anything you've ever seen he's done for wrath on steroids. It is going to be powerful and destructive. The third trumpet. Rivers destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell, verse 10, a great star from heaven, burning as though it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And watch out, verse 11, it says, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. This is not like the star that we're going to see in the fifth trumpet. This is literally a pestilence. This is literally a judgment of God coming down on the earth, and it says Wormwood is the word used for being turned over to bitterness. And we're saying, God, what God is going to do, he says, you rejected me and you wanted a king. You wanted your way instead of my way. Your natural way is to be bitter. And I'm going to turn you over to the ultimate bitterness. And you're not going to be able to do anything about it. I'm going to make everything you do bitter. I'm going to make everything you try to succeed in bitter. I'm going to make every person you have ever thought about or loved bitter in your eyes. I'm going to turn the world over to the ultimate bitterness. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became Wormwood, and many men died of the water. Do you know that if you don't get rid of your anger, if you don't get rid of your bitterness, if you don't get rid of your jealousy, if you don't get rid of your covetousness, it'll literally kill you physically. It will bring diseases upon you that nothing else can ever put on you. And God says, I am coming back and I'm going to turn you into the ultimate bitterness. And the fourth angel, verse 12. Fourth trumpet, sun, moon, and the stars go dim. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so that the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And we got into the explanation. It's understandable to be able to see how day isn't as bright as day's supposed to be. But when we start saying night's not going to be like night's supposed to be, that makes you want to think what's going on. And what we talked about is that God is going to turn it over to make it so dark. Night's going to go from black to dark, dark. It was so dark when he put it on Egypt that they couldn't even see a light. You know how dark that is. God said you could strike a match or strike a candle in that day that he brought darkness on Egypt, and light couldn't even penetrate the darkness. It was so thick, they said they could feel the darkness. God says, I'm gonna put some hurting on folks when I come back. And it is going to be serious. Are you glad you came to church to hear about this? Some of y'all saying, yo, why didn't y'all tell me you're going to be on Revelation? We didn't know either. Ain't no telling where that man will preach at on Sunday. Amen. And I beheld and I heard an angel flying. Some of the translation has an eagle flying. But it's truly an angel. It said, I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of the heavens, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to come. Now, you got to understand something. Remember when we was in the first part of chapter 8, verse 1, when it says, and they saw and it shook heaven up so great that heaven was quiet for 30 minutes. It mean, it just go, just shook them up so much. They go, all the angels that praised God day and night went silent. All the church that was there went silent. All the angels went silent. Heaven went silent when they saw what was coming. Now, if something can happen to make you go silent, can something happen to make you go, oh. Come on, church, get with the pastor. I know this is East Side and you want to be calm and collected, but this right here made the angel lose his etiquette. You see something to go, you go, whoa. I think what he's saying, man, he saw the first four trumpets, and then when God revealed the next three, the angel saw the first one, he goes, whoa. Whoa. And then he saw the sixth, he goes, whoa. Whoa. And then when he saw the seven, we go, ah, ah. Now, how would you say, whoa? You got to spell it, W-O-E. You can't get the emphasis out of W-O-E, but you can say, well, whoa. Whoa. He wasn't just saying, whoa to y'all. He was saying, whoa. You know, it kind of reminded me when I was riding my horse down the slough. Over here, you know, looking good. Boy, I thought I was looking good. There was a bunch of us riding, man. All of a sudden, just when people was around, my bridle broke. That's right. That horse took off. And I was going, whoa! I wasn't calm. This thing can hurt me. Whoa! Think I stayed East Side and go, whoa, buddy, whoa, big boy. Forget that jive. This thing's trying to kill me, going, wow! Think the more I yell, the faster he got. I think it's the same kind of emphasis that you see with that angel. Wow! Goodness! He wasn't quiet, Jack. He's saying, y'all in for something. Can't hear you. Y'all are in for something. Anybody down there got any nerve? Wake up. God's coming and it's going to be terrible. Whoa. I just got one question for anybody here that's not a Christian. Are you crazy? You have got to be nuts. Now, I know most pastors wouldn't say it that way. But I'm not like most pastors. Amen. And I see this coming, Jack, and you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if for nothing else, but to have a brain. Because when Jesus comes back, folks, he is coming back to do some serious hurting your body. And I'd rather accept him now as Lord and Savior than to be beat up by the fifth dominating king of world power that's going to take no prisoners. None. Whew. Fifth trumpet, as we go to chapter 9. Uh-oh. Look at that. The bottomless pit's going to be open. Verse 1, look at it, wait a minute. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven and unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Oh, what about this angel? It says this angel, this star, excuse me, that fell, is a direct hymn, H-I-M. It is a hymn. It's not an issue. It's not something that's coming. It's not a plague. It is a hymn. It's very difficult to get the chronological flow of the book of Revelation if you try to put it in just chapters. I think this kind of correlates real close to chapter 12 that we're going to talk about a little later on when we get to chapter 12. 2003. When we get over there, we're going to find out that Satan's going to be kicked out of heaven. Do you realize up to right now, Satan has the right to go to heaven right now? It's going to end in the book of Revelation. God's going to stop it in the book of Revelation. But right now, he has the right to go before God in heaven anytime he wants and accuse you. That's his job. He is the accuser. And anytime he comes and accuses, we have the Son of God, the Revelation, who stands up and says, Abba means daddy. He's accusing, but I died for him. And God's going to look back at his son, and then he's going to look at Satan and says, dismissed. See you later. My son died for him. You can accuse them, but they are forgiven. Woo! Make your liver quiver, huh? Tell you, man, make your spleen lean. Now check this out. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven and the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air was darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth has power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men who have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. He said, man, it's going to be so bad that they want to die. And God says, uh-uh. They're going to try to commit suicide. And God says, uh-uh, don't work. Even Dr. Kevorkian won't be able to help them. That boy, and it's amazing what we put up with today in our society. Amazing what we put up with in our society. But it's just going towards the final judgments of God. Putting up with that kind of mess, God says, if his church won't deal with it, don't worry about it. I'll deal with it, God says. Even when they want to die, I'm not going to let them die. You understand how bad the pit is, folks? You remember in Luke chapter 8 when Jesus Christ was dealing with the demonic? And he cast them out, and they all came to Jesus and says, please, whatever you do, don't put us in the pit. Put us in pigs. Let us go drown in the Red Sea or something. But don't let us go in that pit. There's thousands upon thousands of demons that's in the pit. And every one of them is ticked off that they're in the pit. And when God lets them out, they're going to take it out on whoever's in the way. Listen to this. And they had hair like, let's back up a little bit, verse 7. And the shapes of the locusts was like horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. And their faces were like the faces of them. And they had hair like the hair of women, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings were like the sound of chariots and many horses running to battle. And they had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months. They had a king over them. That's why we know it's not regular locusts. Locusts don't have a king. They don't have a leader. This is giving us some examples of what this locust is going to be like when they come out of the pit. All demon-possessed. Wait till we break down next week what we talk about when we talk about these locusts. You are going to go home, and if you know anybody that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't care if they're even an enemy, you're going to go home and beg them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And they had a king over them who is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. But in Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. Abaddon or Apollyon or Satan or Beelzebub or Lucifer. You give him the name you want to give him. He is a bad boy. God's going to turn him loose. You want to know what his name means in Greek and Hebrew when it's translated? Destroyer. God is going to give the key to the pit of hell to the destroyer. All because he has been rejected by a people that he died for. Oh, my goodness. This is amazing, isn't it? God is coming back. When he comes, nobody's going to deny. Nobody's going to say, well, you know there's other religions and they're just as good as yours. Can't hear you. Nobody's going to say, well, I believe this way all my life. Well, I think this way is better. Everybody's going to be on their knees. Please forgive me. And God says, too late. Now look at chapter 1 of the book of Revelation. I want to tell you about this key. Even Satan himself has to bow down to God and only do what he allows him to do. That's the kind of God I want to serve. Chapter 1, verse 18, read it with me. I am he that lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Who has the keys? Jesus, our Lord and Savior, perfect Lord and Savior, God of gods, Lord of lords, King of kings. I have the keys, and I'm going to turn them over to the destroyer. Because it is my judgment. Look at chapter 3 of the book of Revelation. Chapter 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write these things, said he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. God says, I am the one who controls all things. I am the one that opens the door, and when I open it, no one can shut it. And when I shut it, no man can open it. I'm going to give the bottomless pit key to Satan himself, and when I let him open it, no one's going to be able to close until I get ready for it to be closed. Church, if you and I know what's coming, there should be no greater desire, no greater motivation than to forget being afraid to share with people. There should be none, no thing that'll keep you from being bold. Tell someone, look, I know what's coming, and you don't want to be a part of this. Get mad at me if you want to. But I'm going to tell you, if you are here today and you're not a believer, are you stupid? It's a terrible word to use, but you got to be in that category. You get mad at me if you like, but I guarantee you, I'd rather have you mad at me and accept the Lord Jesus Christ so we can be together in eternity. Because I guarantee you, man, when you and I get to heaven, you are going to be looking at God the same way I'm going to be looking at God. We're going to get caught up in the revelation. What a wonderful sight. Beautiful sight. Whoa! Wow! Whoa! Amen. You're not going to be caring about me when you get to heaven. You're not going to think about me making you mad when you get to heaven. As a matter of fact, we may be there about 30 million years, and all of a sudden they're going to hit you. I wonder if that pastor made it. I can't hear you, church. Amen. Amen. But I guarantee you, if you don't make it, you're going to be saying, I wonder why I didn't listen. I promise you that. You want to hear a little bit about Satan, my boy? Huh? I want to talk a little bit about Satan, what the scripture has to say about my boy. I want you to know now, he is a foe, but he's defeated. And anybody that know they're defeated always want to take as many with them as he can get. Talks about turning the key over to the destroyer. It's going to be nothing about him that he's going to like about you. Turn with me to the Old Testament. Back in the book that you do lots of study out of, Ezekiel. I know y'all in that book every morning doing devotions. Ezekiel chapter 28. Go with me now. This is a bad boy, Ezekiel. And Ezekiel gets a message from God to talk about the king of Tyre. Now, the king of Tyre was a real king, but he was led by Satan. So he's going to talk about the king of Tyre, but he's going to talk to the real king of Tyre, which is Lucifer himself. Look at verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, as Ezekiel 28, verse 11, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealed up the psalm, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Listen to what it said. You know those pictures of Satan that you get, got the little horns, a little red sucking, got a tail on, carrying around with a pitchfork? Satan wants you to believe that. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible says he is beautiful. All beauty was in Satan. The most powerful angel God ever created was Satan. If Satan hit the ground, folks, and walked through the streets, every woman in the world would go, wow! Now that's a hunk. Sometimes I had to make sure that, you know, now, y'all going too far now. I'm going to take it over there. Y'all know, if Satan walked through, girls, every one of you would go, wow, come here, boy. What? And the way our society is, there'd be a lot of guys doing the same thing. I know I shouldn't go there, should I? Bring it on back, Pastor. Get back in the book. The Bible said he was perfect in beauty. Satan was. This is what it says. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God, every precious topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle. And you are full of gold. You're like gold. The workmanship of thy timbrels and of thy flutes was prepared in thee in the day of thou was created. Do you realize, folks, what God is saying here? He is not only perfect in beauty. He was given the perfect instruments to worship God. Satan was the head of music. And you want to see where all the fight is today in any society, with any generation, it's a fight over music. Why? Because he's the head of it. When he hit the earth, he didn't lose it. You want to know what most of the problems in the church is? Music. So many people think it's too loud. So many people think it's too low. Some people think it's too fast. Some people think it's too slow. Some people think, I can't worship with this kind of music. Get thee behind me, Satan. I'm going to tell you what J. Vernon McGee said. He said it the best. He said, well, you know, God threw Satan out of heaven and he fell right into the choir. He's beautiful. He's powerful. He can make some serious music. That was his job before he rebelled. Thou art the anointed cherub that covered, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou was has walked up on and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in you. No one, nothing outside of him made him sin except how beautiful he was, how powerful he was, and pride popped up through him in the earth. And that's why, since he wasn't tempted, it came upon by himself, he cannot get forgiveness. You and I are born into sin. That's why we can be forgiven. If Satan could be forgiven, folks, let me tell you something. He would be first in line. And you can be. And most of the time, you're the last one in line. Go with me a little further back to the left, about four or five books, to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14. I want to show you a little bit more about what the Bible has to say about my boy Satan. Powerful foe. The destroyer. Abaddon, Apollyon. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground? Who does weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to Sheol, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble? Who shook kingdoms, who made the world like a wilderness and destroyed his cities, who opened not the house of his prisoners. It says, Satan, when I turn you loose, people are going to say, he is the destroyer. And he is going to wipe cities out. He is going to kill as many as he can before anybody has the opportunity to try to get out under his curse with him. You know what's so amazing about Satan? Is he's so opposite of the revelation. He is so opposite of Jesus. Go with me real quick to Philippians. I want you to see the difference. Philippians chapter 2. The opposite of the destroyer that's coming, who's going to have the keys to the pit. Verse 5, Philippians 2, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Satan says, I will rise. And God's going to make him debased. Jesus Christ says, I will humble myself down to death for you. And God says, because he has the opposite mind of the destroyer, he is the life giver. Thus, verse 9, wherefore God also has highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Say it now! Say it now! Don't wait until he comes! David and Rhonda, won't you come up here, bro? Sister?